Thank Mike for his talk. If we have questions, fine. We have Smith Livens, number one.
Oh, wait a minute. There's your suggested question.
Very good, Mike. That book by Ken Wilson, I came across it earlier in the fall. Started reading it and thought, wow, this is really a good background. This would make a great preacher study. If I'm asked again, I'm going to give this, like you just did. So, but thanks. That was a good job. Synergism can be illustrated from several things in Scripture. One that works well for me is John 9, the story of a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He washed and he came thinking. He had no right to say, I give myself a blindness. He just did what the Lord told him to do. He had a part, but we are not foolish enough to say that he saved himself from blindness. He just did a little part. Jesus is the Lord, God, the Holy Spirit, that did all the heavy lifting in that situation, which is a nice analogy with our salvation. We have a part. We're not taking glory away from God because we know that God has done so much.
Thank you. So, are we Pelagians in our thinking? Are we Arminians?
Well, Pelagius and there is some difference between Pelagianism and Arminianism, but it would take a whole other discussion. I would say that we do have characteristics.
If somebody accuses us, you are a Pelagian, you are an Armenian, they're insulting us.
Usually.
And should we say, oh no, I don't believe like Pelagius because what's the answer there?
Well, given that I don't know much about either one of these individuals from in-depth study, I would say, what do you mean by that? Let's get to the issue. Let's leave the labels and say, what do you mean? That's like AK said. What do you mean by that? And then they bring up something specific, like, well, you believe, you know, you can earn your own salvation. Then you take them to the Scriptures. But I don't know if, I mean, we're no more Arminianistic or Pelagianistic than we are Campbellistic, I guess. I mean, we just want the Scriptures. Labels usually are pejorative.
Yes, I agree with that. We need to stick with Scripture, and I think your answer is a good answer. I'm just wondering what is it that Pelagius or Arminius taught that we need to beware of? Like, you know, don't buy a book
right. And
believe what they taught because here's what they taught that's too, you know, that's wrong. And
yeah. I don't know if I could answer that question with what little limited knowledge I have of their theologies. I mean,
Glenn Osberg.
Maybe somebody else can.
You're right. We learn from what Pelagius, I mean, what Arminius believed, basically from his followers. I mean, he died at the end of the Council of Dort. He died before they could really make a defense. And so you just kind of have to summarize and kind of second guess. To answer your question, and this is kind of, I got what you were going there. I think I got where you're going. But, you know, any of us as Christians could take pride in our obedience and rob God of glory that is duly his. And I understand that that's a sin. And the Bible talks about, it uses two, I hate to come back to this forgetting thing, but James 1, he's looked at himself, goes into the mirror, he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Evidently, the fact that we can be confronted with truth or confronted with a need to repent, what actually develops is searing of the conscience because of disregard or forgetting what manner of man we are. And the Bible says in Peter, after somebody's been saved,
he says in Peter 1:8, he lacks his folly, his blind short by him, God is here, those form of sin. I think there's a
sin of forgetfulness. Now, what I mean by that is I think that in our progressing, in our maturity in Christ, we may develop a lack of humility, a self-glorification in the process. And Jesus teaches humility, and he teaches us not to forget that we were once saved from our past sin. And to get where you're going, the sin seems to be the pride. Absolutely. Rather than an actual act, if you can take it there, to get away from this synergy. Synergy could lead to pride, but it doesn't have to. I think that's the point.
Yes. Totally agree. And I think there's two prongs there. Number one, we need to keep an internal correct view with humility, but also as much as possible, this won't be possible totally, to minimize what people perceive we're doing. Because, you know, we've been accused of being self-righteous. Well, a lot of times that's, again, pejorative, because they just want to accuse us of following the scriptures, which they don't want to do, maybe. Right. But we have to not perceive that, oh, well, you know, we've got it all figured out. And so, yeah.
But I think a tool that Calvinism uses and that has been used down through the centuries is the fact, even in open theology, about free will, not about foreknowledge, but about free will. Mm-hmm. There's a book written critical of that view called Children of a Lesser God, or, you know, you somehow have dethroned God because you serve a lesser God. And when we say synergy, they say, oh, you're dethroning God. When in reality, what they're doing is not that, but they accuse us of enthroning ourselves. And I think we can be Christians remain humble at the same time. But I do think we have to work at it, because we could develop pride. And we can do that in our worship and, like you said, in just saying, I'm right and you're wrong, and I'm better and you're not. You know, I mean, it could lead to that, but it doesn't have to. And anyway, maybe that's why we worship.
Thanks.
Greatly appreciated your study, and also what you were talking about with the tension. Uh-huh. I think that's a very good way to describe it. I know for myself, I used to describe things and present things from a standpoint of whenever there was a tension like that, a lot of times we just want it to be settled. We want it one way or another, because we don't want that that tension. We don't want that feeling of being uncomfortable. So I used to phrase it, and I don't so much anymore, well, what's the safest way to go? And that's kind of a cop-out. Could you talk about some of the dangers of that type of mentality? Because I think if we say what's the safest, what's safe may not actually be the truth.
Well, if by safe, when we say things like that, you know, we mean going back to the scriptures and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling and with a proper humility and spirit, then yes, we must always do what is safe. Because just because some things may be lawful does not mean that they are expedient. You're right, there's that tension. Now, I guess you'd be getting into motivation, and I don't know why people say that phrase specifically. I mean, if they're just saying that to end all argument, then I think, or all discussion, then maybe that's not a good phrase to use.
I think that's how I used to say it.
Yeah.
Just to kind of end the argument, to make it go away. That way we wouldn't have to worry about what it was. And there you kind of have to maybe even calling upon Romans 14 and doing, not Romans 14, I'm getting that off, but relinquishing, I guess, to the weaker brother in that sense, and just doing what's safe and what's expedient. I think there's problem. Yeah. Motively with that, yes.
Maybe it's been evident, but I've been trying pretty hard in the study to not take on an ism here and not become an ist or an ism. And I would have a problem even here. Maybe I'm one of the guys that wants it to be black and white sometimes. But when God wanted the Ethiopian to be saved, he sent Philip to him. When God wanted Paul to be saved, he sent Paul to Ananias, and, well, Ananias to Paul. And then when he wanted Cornelius to be saved, he sent Peter to him. God works, I'm going to say this pretty definitely, God works in the world through us. The saying has often been, we're his hands and his feet. And that's a word that discusses that is synergism. God works in and through us, and because of that, our lives make a difference in the world. What we do and how we live and the choices we make a difference because of the idea that God works in this world, in and through us in our lives. And that's pretty important to me, that whole thought, that how I view God, it's not just what God has done, but what God is doing today through me, through you, through other people. Our lives are significant and our lives are important because God is working together in and through us. I just wanted your comments. Yeah.
And I think, too, when we're talking about issues like that, we're getting over perhaps also into providence, and I think we have to be careful there. If it's revealed by God that this is what he's doing or has done, then we can definitively say. But, I think we place our trust, our faith in God, and yes, absolutely. We know definitively he's working through us if we're faithful, but we may not always know how that's exactly happening, and that's the mind of God. We don't want to rely on feelings. I just feel that God is doing this. No, if it's not been revealed, then we need to be very, very careful.